In your face. You are in your face here on Smith Street, here on 3CR with James, and we are joined by Lyle Brooks, the director of theatre production Red Sky Morning, a Tom Holloway production written by Tom. Lyle, welcome to 3CR. Great to have you on board.
Thanks, James. Good afternoon, almost evening.
Indeed. Now, tell us about your production, Red Sky Morning. It's got a regional kind of flavour to it, and it's about family, silence and hope and the connections between a woman, a man and a girl who live together.
Oh, my God. Can you be my personal publicity person? That's perfect. I guess like any good piece of theatre, yes, it is flavoured with this regionality, but it's very universal. So it deals with these three people, ostensibly a family, a man, a woman and a daughter, and each of them are going through their own kind of black dog in a way. And it's about how they wish they could connect. They try to connect. They almost do. And the very end of the play, there's just this little glimmer of hope that maybe isn't that all isn't lost, but they sort of have to reach rock bottom. There's a feeling that they're stuck in this cycle, but today could be the different day. Today could be the circuit breaker. And so it's a real kind of edge of your seat, lean forward kind of theatre, I call it, where you're noticing all these things and hoping that they can make the connections that you as an audience from a distance can see they should make and should, you know, and hopefully as you leave the theatre you think, oh, God, they're for the grace of God. I need to call my mum. I need to do this. I need to make sure that I am going out of my way just a little bit more to make sure that I'm connecting with others for myself and for them, because you never know what others are going through.
And it really captures that culture of regional Australia, you know, that historical kind of culture where people often suffer in silence, right?
Absolutely. And I grew up in the country. I grew up in Gippsland. And I live back out in the country now, out the other way, in Daleford way. But there is something different about the mentality still, even to this day, 2026, and there is still a kind of a very gendered expectations that happen. There's this expectation of stoicism. And it feels like sometimes, you know, the past few years we've seen regional communities stand up for with bushfires and with floods and with droughts and coming together as a community. But it's almost a poison chalice, isn't it? They're then expected to be brave and stoic all the time. And there's something just unfair about that. And also in the country, you know, I'm making broad generalisations here, but there can be lack of access to services you need. Having an extra half an hour or an hour to drive to these mental health services may be the thing that stops someone from doing it. So, there is that originality to it. And it does feel like a country town in the way the characters speak and act and behave.
So how do those gendered expectations manifest in Red Sky Morning?
Well, I think, I mean, one of the things that I always get drawn to, either as a director or a performer or a writer, are those, you know, performative masculinity expectations we have. So one of the characters, this man who has, you know, a wife and a daughter, so he's the only man in the family, he is ostensibly suffering from depression, and he feels like his way out of that is to almost overperform happiness and contentment and being a solid citizen in the town. So, yeah, it's still kind of, it can still be seen as a weakness for a man to ask for help.
So expectations on so many levels, not just about gender, but about status and about responsibility and about respectability and all of those things that just play out in the microcosms of country Victoria, country Australia so often.
Absolutely they do. And it's a crying shame. And also, I'm cautious that this isn't an indictment on country towns because, as I said, I'm a country boy myself and I know how wonderful it is to live in a country town. And I guess for me, look from the outside, seeing how, not easy, but how simple a switch it can be, how an attitude switch is all it takes to start this avalanche of behavioural change.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. How do you direct that?
With great difficulty. I mean, honestly, that part of it, the thematic elements of this piece are probably the easiest part of it. This piece texturally is so incredibly intricate. So it's an award-winning play. It is a beautiful piece of text. But it's essentially three monologues that don't interact with each other in a way that normal characters in a play might talk to each other, but they overlap at times. Sometimes there's just a single word that will be said simultaneously, and it goes for 60 minutes, and these characters don't leave the stage. They rarely stop talking. And it requires real technicians on text. So the three cast members that I have, so Alpha Cargo, Isabella Day and Emma Troy, are just absolute technicians when it comes to learning and delivering text. They also just happen to be amazing actors and really plumb the depths of these emotions that these characters are going through and show or hide as need be.
It sounds like walking on a balance beam almost.
Well, funny you mention that, because the design by Sydney Younger and Jack Burmeister and Harry Gill, Harry's designed this amazing set that is like a raked stage on the side. So it's a really long platform with poles coming out of it. That is, it's a hill, basically. So not only do they have to, you know, metaphorically balance their emotions and their words, but they kind of do have to keep their balance on this stage too, or else they go over the edge.
Wow. And you must feel incredibly connected to these three actors and almost, you know, really work with the feeling of the silence.
Yeah, that's a really good point. There is an element of the silence having, you know, being just as loquacious as the text is. Tom Holloway, who was the playwright, who is, you know, an incredible Australian playwright, he wrote this about 2008, 2009, this first premiered. And it is very much about, even though I said these characters, there's never very rarely a moment of silence in the play. When characters aren't speaking, there is so much subtext that is being said in that one moment. You know, it is a choice to not speak as much as it's a choice to speak.
It won a Green Room Award in the noughties as well.
I know.
Which you alluded to. Is there a bit of pressure with directing a Green Room Award winning play?
I'd love to say there's not, but look, there is. This first premiered at Renstitch in 2008, and then had a remount at the Arts Centre. Sam Strong was the director, who's now back in Melbourne at Gasworks. So I've chatted with him, and he's made me feel like I'm fine, I'm okay. Like, I've got his blessing to take his work and remount it now, and he's been a great help chatting me through it. And I know, Tom, we've had a chat, and the pressure is there though, because it was such a celebrated play at the time to remount it. And the thing with the remounts too, this isn't a museum piece. So I want people to be able to see this and say, yeah, this resonates today. There might be, you know, a Home and Away reference here or there that makes you think this might have been written 15, 20 years ago, but it really does pierce the heart and stimulate the brains of the people watching it today. I hate watching theatre where you think, why bother? Why do they put that on? But this is very much of its time now still. And even if it is allowed to say less about country towns now, because, you know, things and health services are improving, I still think there's that universality of people can suffer in silence and still do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have things like Are You OK Day?
Tell us about your chat with the writer, Tom Holloway, about the production.
Well, Tom, I mean, Tom, I've actually had, before I got offered this job to direct his play, I did a course with him. He ran a little playwriting course. And all the things that he was teaching us in that course, I'm suddenly seeing in his own writing. And he talks about, you know, stripping back and stripping back and stripping back, but you know all the work that has gone into it. And he talks about, you know, every single comma or ellipsis or choice of word or repeated word or a dash, it has been chosen very deliberately, very specifically. So, you know, I approach this like I do most, that there's no paraphrasing. We have to work out how to say these words if they don't immediately come to us. We have to know that, you know, a playwright, a technician in their own right has created this very intricate piece of text that we have to deliver. So it's about honouring that, knowing that the story will be told. We don't have to force anything. I know as an actor myself, I love showing the emotions, but this text is just so beautifully constructed that often I'll have to tell the actors, you don't have to show it. You don't have to let that out. As an audience, it's much more exciting for us to see, to hear the words that tell us you should be crying or a puddle on the floor, but you're not. And there's something beautiful and sad about seeing characters not giving to their emotions or feeling like maybe they don't have to, because, as I said, these beautiful words have been created for them to say.
Are the words raw? Is it easy to interpret as a director, because it has been so pared back and it is so deliberate?
It's one of those pieces that I you can't do too much preparation for it. It's a piece that lives coming out of actors' mouths. It exists in a space as spoken words. It is a beautiful text to read, of course, but it's almost folly to try and do much preparation and anticipate how things will land or be delivered or even look on stage. It's one of those pieces, and I'm really blessed with this production with TheatreWorks. They've given me 3 weeks, which in professional theatre isn't much, but for independent theatre, 3 weeks full-time is such a gift to be able to just live in this world. The actors can, you know, step in every day and just see it come to life in its own way. We're sort of asking the text every day, asking the play every day, what do you want to be, as opposed to trying to force it into something. And it's been a real joy. It's frightening. It's learning to ride a bike without a helmet, but it is so joyous and so rewarding.
There feels like a real hunger for independent theatre in Melbourne at the moment, that people, you know, because they've been online so much and because they stare at computer screens so often, they want those immersive experiences and they want them to be grassroots and they want them to be independent of corporations and the big guys. Are you finding that?
There's definitely still, that hasn't diminished ever. And I think you're right. I think the more spoiled we are with fancy CGI or AI or TV series, there's something really wonderful and human about sitting in a room that might not be the perfect temperature or the most comfortable seats with a team that aren't all perfectly edited together, and just hearing a story being told. You know, thousands of years ago, as we sat around campfires telling each other stories, there were no special effects. There might have been some music, but there was nothing fancy. It was about, does this story hold my attention? Do the storytellers hold my attention? What does this mean for me? What are my connections that I'm making? And also there's something about seeing stories that don't make you feel stupid, that invite you in to let you interpret it as you will, even if it means arguing with the person you came with as you walk out the door. You'll never feel wrong.
Wow, and that is a real privilege to be in a position where you're directing something like that.
Well, I mean, that's the hope, isn't it? I can't sit back and think of the text will do all the work. We still have to, you know, steer this ship. But that is my goal. That's the sort of theatre I love to watch, the sort of theatre where the show is only half the night. And then you'll go to, you know, have dinner or supper or drive home and you'll, you know, fight with your person you came with about what it might have all meant or what your connections were to it, because there's nothing wrong with your answers to that. Well, how did it connect with me? There's no wrong answer.
So seeing a lot of theatre and knowing what works from the perspective of someone in the audience, does that make you a better director?
Of course it does. It's the same as acting. You do hear, you know, you get that immediate response. And that's what I love about theatre, is that you get that immediate response as an actor or a director. You can feel when you're sitting in a room, and as a playwright I get that too. You can feel when you're losing the audience. So this is what previews are great for. This is what rehearsals with a little audience are great for. And you can go back and make sure you fine-tune this work to be the best experience it can be for the audience. And again, that's not, you know, 100% entertainment and blow them away, keep their attention all the time. But there's, you know, you can have experiences where you are allowed to sit for a bit and maybe drift off just a moment before the action gets you back in.
So Lyle, tell us about the journey that led you to this play. Did you pivot from directing to this production, or did you pivot from acting to directing? Like, what's been your trajectory over the last few months?
Oh, God, this makes me feel, last few months? I've always been a performing artist or theatre maker, so I'm actually been around for, God, like 30 years now. I actually started as a dancer 26 years and about 35 kilos ago. I was a Tony Bertuccio dancer back in the day. And from that training, I got a lot of sort of acting work or music theatre work. So I've done opera and music theatre and dancing. I sort of got into straight theatre, let's call it, through some work at MTC and Red Stitch. And then about maybe 10 years ago, I started doing more directing, helping out other actors or directors with their work, and then taking on projects of my own. I run my own theatre company for the past sort of 15 years called Lab Kelpie. It focuses on new Australian writing, so a lot of touring, a lot of producing, and only recently, the last couple of years, I've also started playwriting. And none of it feels like a pivot anywhere. It just feels like collecting more feathers for your bow, or whatever the phrase is. It all feels like I'm just expanding the definition of me being a theatre maker. What does that mean? Just more and more things. And it's really wonderful. I mean, I'm not going to say it brings me more money, but it doesn't. But it's a really joyous thing to fill up on as many things, as many aspects of theatre making as I can.
So you really started off in the high camp world of dancing.
And look, James, she still has it. I still love going back to that high camp Bertuccio's world sometimes. As much as I love, you know, sinking my teeth into really meaty, dramatic, meaningful works like this, look, you will catch me doing some high kicks and hair flicks occasionally as well.
Wow, you must be a lot of fun to be rehearsing with at the moment.
I will assume the answer to that is yes, but I will not ask the actors to back it up.
Fantastic. Well, Lyle Brooks, you are directing Red Sky Morning. It is happening at Theatre Works, 14 Ackland Street, St Kilda. It's written by Tom Holloway, and it is playing from May 6 to 16. Lyle Brooks, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
James, thank you.
3CR. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.